Episode 360, May 7th, 2018.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another Rob and Joe Show. Lots to talk about this week, Joe. I have a comedy kumite, round 17, whatever it's been, update. I blocked Robbie on Facebook. We'll get to that. And it sounds like you're having a big Mother's Day plans here at your house.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's... Here's the deal. It's... I told Robbie that he could bring his dog. That's how much I wanted Robbie here.
Is this the first holiday event at your new place?
It's first it holiday is. Event. I think it's the first holiday, unless, you know, we moved in on the 26th of December. I mean, we didn't have a New Year's party 4 days after we moved in.
No Easter.
No Easter, yeah. I guess Easter was the other big holiday. So, yeah, this is it.
Now, is Katie's family coming too?
Katie's family's coming. My family's coming.
So, I think we're all wondering the same question.
Is Gramps going to act appropriately?
Yeah, because, you know, Katie's, you know, mom's pretty hot and sister-in-law is a good-looking woman. I feel like Gramps is ready.
Yeah, I guess, do I need to do something preemptively? I guess I should, right?
Well, have they ever met?
Yeah. Okay. Now, I don't know that my father has met her sister-in-law, but he's met her mother.
Okay.
And I think he can get it. I think he can keep it together.
What is everybody, or what are you doing for this? Are you cooking anything? Are you doing anything?
As always, I'll do what I'm asked.
Right.
But, you know, Katie and I are on the keto diet right now.
So you're keeping that up for the actual Mother's Day celebration.
I plan on it. I don't want to... Gramps just said in chat, I'll be good. I plan on it. I mean, that's the plan. You know, if I'm cheating by the end of the week, then I'll never... Right. Then I might as well give up. I think JL was on either paleo or keto, right?
One of those. So it sounded impossible.
Well, we tried that keto for a little bit, and we didn't feel too good on it.
What was the downside?
We felt bloated, like we didn't feel like we were, like, really... doing well on it.
How long did you last on it?
Like 2 weeks.
That's good.
Really?
It's a long time.
That's a long time. No cheating? 2 weeks and you gave up?
I actually cheated on the coffee part of that, but that's it.
You can drink coffee.
No. I have put sweetener in the coffee.
Oh. Yeah, you can't do that. You can use half and half.
I just drink black coffee now. It's actually one of my few good health decisions.
Black coffee.
Well, cutting out the cream and sugar.
Yeah, I drink...
And the Baileys.
I usually drink... you say you drink 2 cups of coffee a day, but I really don't. I drink way more because the coffees I drink are 20 ounces.
Right, yeah.
I think a cup of coffee is 8 ounces.
Yes.
So I'm drinking like 10 ounces. Yeah, whatever. By the way, speaking of math, last week I re-listened to the show, and I did some math. Nobody called me out on it unless it happened on Facebook and I didn't see it. So I said... We said, what are the chances, and remember we were talking about my father marrying my mother's sister and my cousins. Yeah. Also, what are the chances of that? We said 1 in 1,000,000. I go, how many people are in the country? 400 million. That's 40 people. No, it's 400. I mean, it's the easiest math to do. And first, I listen back and I go, oh, man, I hope Captain Cupcake doesn't catch that. But yeah. I was able to correct it before he did.
So if I said it, you know, it would have been 20 tweets about it and Robbie would have made a T-shirt or something.
You had to block him.
I had to block him. So now... What's on the menu? Because, like, this seems like a big deal, Joe. The first...
Does it?
In a new home, the first time you have a family event, that's a big deal. I know it's a big deal for Katie, I bet.
No, I don't... I think you're wrong. I think, you know, we spend a lot of time with her family. Matter of fact, let me see, what day is this? This will be the 8th? Is that what day? Or no, it'll be the 13th.
The 13th is Mother's Day, yes.
17 days later, I'll be going on vacation to Charleston with their family for a week.
Yeah, but now you got to feed. You got to feed 2 people on a diet. You got to feed. It's the mother, so they should get whatever they want.
Oh, I thought.
And you have to feed the Taiwanese person.
I thought you meant that we were going to have a buffet. I thought you meant it was a big deal because of these people that were coming together. But that's not a huge issue.
No, it's not a huge issue.
It's not.
Okay. Well, thanks for inviting me. So.
What am I supposed to do?
I know, I'm kidding.
You know what? You're invited.
Shit. All right.
What are you doing? Are you even seeing your mother?
I hadn't thought about it, to be honest. I guess I should. I mean, between...
Why don't you bring her here?
You know what? She lives close by in Edgewater.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll just let Katie know you guys are coming.
Well, I got to see what Tawanda, what she's doing with her mom, and it's very, you know, it's a lot going on.
So wait a minute. Now Tawanda's family's also coming?
Yeah, they're all coming. And her sister, their kids.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe I rescind this
exactly.
invite.
Eight more people are coming.
I'm not asking Katie, so I don't know how much trouble I'm in. But
what, where would you get in trouble?
For inviting eight more people?
Well, what's the number?
It's a big number already.
But, I mean, if me and... Me, Tawanda, if me and my mom come over, I know that's not a problem.
No, it's
okay,
not.
Okay, but if we get to like five, six people, then it's...
Well, if you, your mom, your mom's husband,
yeah,
your stepbrother, don't you have a stepbrother?
I have a half-brother.
He's probably
going
to... That's what I meant, half-brother. Sure. Then Tawanda.
Yeah.
Tawanda's mom and dad, her sister, her niece.
And nephew.
And nephew.
And sister's husband.
Well, yeah, it's getting out of hand.
But he's her sister's... husband is Asian and has an or half Asian half white, has an Asian mother, so it would only make sense for her to come over because you're going to have that kind of food. You're going to have your wants or whatever for Robbie's girlfriend.
Robbie, are you going to wear your traditional Taiwanese garb to the...
Hey Marcus, you want to come down too?
Sure.
Let's have a lot of fun. Okay, let's get Eric Woodworth over, Jeremy, Tommy. I mean, let's just make it a big Die Laughing Productions Mother's Day festival.
Hey, speaking of Jeremy.
Yeah.
We mentioned him many a times on this show. Matter of fact, our friend Eric Woodworth, who's in our murder mystery, he does a podcast called Quality Time, which my brother can't listen to because Eric's brother Jeremy can't stop making references that don't make any sense. And as a result, Robbie can't get through them. I went to see Infinity War for the second time.
Look at you, nerd.
I saw it on Wednesday because my youngest hadn't seen it, wanted to see it. I said, well, let's go see it.
All right.
So I walk in there. Who's in there but Jeremy Woodworth?
That's right. I saw
He's
that picture.
He's building standees for the movie. What's it called with Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart?
Night School.
Night School, is that it? And so I got my picture taken, me and Jeremy, in the standee of Tiffany Haddish so we could send it to Rob. But as I was walking away, I saw Jeremy. He was right by the ticket taker. And I had popcorn and a drink or whatever. And I got that. And my son went in and got the seats. So Jeremy goes, hey, Bubba. So I talked to him a little while. And I go, hey, I got to run in. And my son's in there. So I got to roll. He goes, all right, cool. As soon as I don't walk one step. And he says, right to the ticket taker. He goes, hey, that's Joe Robinson from 98 Rock. You know him? He's a celebrity. And I was like, I don't fucking know this guy, right? Which, of course, no one did.
And then you got the picture taken with you and this cardboard Tiffany Haddish.
As many people know Jeremy Woodworth probably as know me at this point.
So, you know, we talked about this on the bonus show, but remember when I talked about the idea I had for Tiffany Haddish and her dress?
Yeah, to auction it off.
Yeah, well, now that's happening. So... I know. I feel like I'm a hero now. All that money is going to go to save people's... Who knows what it's going to do?
Did you get credit for the idea?
Well, I haven't... I don't know. I haven't spoken to anybody.
How do you get credit for it, though? She can't say, I'm auctioning off this dress. By the way, this other guy gave me this idea.
I don't want, like, credit, like, publicly acknowledged. I just...
She was like, for her to say, hey, I'm using that idea, thanks.
She might not even know it was my idea.
Oh, who'd you give it to?
Her agent.
Huh.
Yeah.
You think the agent took credit for your idea?
I mean, it's possible, but you know, I just want to know that they probably would have come up with that idea eventually, but I would like some credit.
I don't know that they would have. It's funny, today I got an email from somebody who works under me. It was a report that she put together, and I said I'm going to give it to my superior, and if they like it, I'm going to say you did it. And if they don't like it, then I'll take credit for it.
That sounds fair. Yeah.
Right. I mean, literally, she did the work.
Yeah.
So if I did the work, then yeah, I'd be, but I'm not going to make her do the work and then I'm going to take credit for it only if it's good.
Right.
That makes sense. So I'm doing it the other way around. He should give you credit for that.
They should give you a little taste of that money, Rob.
Well, I want it to all go to charity. I don't want any of the money, Robbie. There's other ways they can give me money. There's plenty of work they could throw my way, I'm sure, if they want to give me money. I was in Williamsburg this Saturday night.
Who were you with?
Myself, Jimmy Merritt, super nerd. In a hotel doing comedy for 30 people.
Well, it's worth the drive.
I mean, it actually ended up being a really great audience. We just hit it off instantly, and it was a super fun show. But I met this couple, and I don't know, maybe they're onto something with the secret of the happiness. He's 60, she's 50. They both look great. They look like
they must be on the keto diet.
You know what their diet is? They have no kids, no pets. They just do whatever they want, whenever they want. They go places. They just have fun. They look good. They drink. They party. No response other than their jobs, but no responsibility. It seemed, and then I had two other couples, both have kids, separate relationships, telling me don't have kids.
Well, now. You shouldn't have kids now.
Well, now would be the best time for me to ever have kids in my life up to this point.
Well, okay, I understand that, but you've made it this far. Look, I've said this on this show many a time. Look, I love my kids. I wouldn't trade them for all the money I would have saved if I didn't have them, but if I never met them, then right. I didn't know them. I don't know what I'm missing, and then I just have wheelbarrows full of money.
Well, Robbie, what do you think? I mean, you've made it this far, kidless.
I see these little shits all the time, and I go, thank God that's not me.
So you have no regrets or no desire
I'm over 50 now. No regrets at this point.
But you can still make a kid, you can.
No, I'm in the same position as Jeff.
Even with your love-making ability, that doesn't supersede it?
No, it doesn't cut through.
With your mixtape? No. That baby-making mixtape doesn't defeat science? So you don't have you never say to yourself, man, because you think Robbie likes to tell people what to do. So that would seem like that would be.
I don't think Robbie likes to tell people what to do. I think
he's opinionated.
I don't even know that it's that. Yeah, I mean, Robbie's thing is if he has an opinion, it's difficult to get him anywhere else. That is true. But the thing about Robbie is I don't think he necessarily likes to tell people what to do, but he likes to have his structure, and he doesn't like anything interfering with it. And clearly kids, you know, they don't.
Oh, yeah. They do what they want to do.
Justin Schlegel, I did 98 Rock this morning. Scott was out. And this weekend, Justin's, I guess, his girlfriend's kid, he goes, oh, my God. He runs in there. He goes, what's the matter? He goes, the pizza's burning me. And he's looking. He's like, what are you talking about? Somehow, he lifts up his shirt. Somehow, the pizza stuck cheese down to his chest. Okay? And he's like, how the fuck did you manage this? So what do you think Justin did in response to this? Do you think he sat down and goes, hey, it's okay? Do you think he put some Vaseline on it, a salve? What do you think he did in response to this?
I think he put pizza on his chest to make him feel better.
He got a camera so he could watch what goes on in the living room. So just in case he says, oops, I dropped it down my shirt, he can watch the video and see what actually happened.
So he's got the replay and what actually happened.
I think he said it's 4 hours or 8 hours of being able to go back. So as soon as they say, oh, you know, this happened by accident, that happened by accident, he go, well, wait a minute. Here's footage of you lying, which is a wonderful idea for kids who are always.
But Justin, it could get him in trouble. I mean, who knows what deviant things he's doing in that room?
Well, I don't think that, if I'm being honest, I don't know that anyone is aware of its existence but Justin.
Well, this should have been a bonus show discussion.
Nah, I think he'll be okay with it. He talked about it today on the air, and I did talk about it at 5:30.
He called in?
No, when I was on the show. No, Scott was out, not Justin.
Oh, gotcha.
So when he talked about it early this morning and said he showed it to me, he saw his living room. There it was.
I love that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So I guess it's about 10 days ago now. I you know, we've talked about this, my headshot now for, it's been, I guess, going back to me originally saying that I'm bad at taking pictures and that, you know, I don't have a good smile and I never know. And then, so we had a little fun with that. And then I went and I paid for some headshots and I showed them to you guys. I literally sent them all to you and Marcus, every single link. But and I think I said, hey, don't go crazy with this. And you said, of course I won't. And then, of course, you did. But anyway, so then we had a 30-minute discussion about them, and you hated them. And I liked a few and different on some. But, you know, And then eventually you took the one shot and you did what's called robbing hashtag, where you all did that same pose. You're going to some bar, showing strangers. And that was actually sort of funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
Right. And I posted some photos on Instagram, and basically anyone that's not related to the Rob and Joe show, people, or in person, people tend to like the photos that I've shown. So fast forward, I narrow it down to three, but really two. And I post them on Facebook. This is also on the heels of me saying one of my pet peeves, and JL had this idea, we should just talk about what drives us craziest. If you're given an option on Facebook or Twitter, do you like apple pie or cherry pie?
Don't
say pumpkin or don't say pie sucks. I like cake. It's a simple question. You either answer the question with the two answers or you just don't answer.
Don't participate.
Exactly. Right. So I post these photos and I do it on the Rob and Joe show because this has been a thing. It's been a recurring. I did everything you're supposed to do in radio and podcasting. I talked about something personal in my life and then we put it out to the audience to talk about. And then we gave a final conclusion. This is now what we're down to, these two pictures. You can pick. And for the most part, people were just, you know, saying this or that one. Some people would start making dumb comments, which was annoying me. But then Robbie, I see he tries to tag the photos, tag me in them, which means then they go on my page.
Right, which you don't want them on there.
And I'm like, if I want them on my page, clearly I own them.
Yeah, you put them up, right.
So I decline the tag.
Yeah.
He tries again. I decline again. Okay. By the way, this happened 2 weeks ago earlier when I put up pictures. He did the same thing. And I'm like, why are you doing this? So then I see he's posted one of the photos of my face is now distorted. Like I have.
That's a Robbie move. Yeah, he's famous for that.
Like a George Mirasan or something. It's a caricature. So
you declined it.
And then I'm like, I tried to delete that. It won't. So then I see, you know what? I delete the entire 75 comment Rob and Joe show post about.
So that's now that's gone now.
Now that's gone. All that friggin' comedy,
all that
gold,
free
advice.
Advertising is
exactly
gone. Got it.
And then he tries to post it again on my page. I'm like, fuck it. Unfriend. You know what? Maybe he can still post shit. Block. And because I'm like, I have a show. I got shit to do. I don't want to be dealing with
this. Watching, policing your
right. I
Facebook
just wanted to get opinion. I said I have fucking, I don't look good in pictures. I open myself up and I say, hey, I've narrowed it down to these two. Which ones do you like? And it was too much for you, Robbie.
Well, I got a little bit of that in me, too. But I catch on way earlier than Robbie, you know, because I like it a little mean, and then it starts to get real, and then I say, all right, I don't want to participate in this anymore. But it takes Robbie a little longer to get there,
right?
To get where he's like, oh, wait a minute, people, this is actually his face. Maybe he doesn't want me shitting on it for a month.
Well, and it was also there was a buildup that day and the day before, just for whatever reason, I forget now. Social media was particularly annoying me. I believe I just said that I was making meatloaf and Brussels sprouts tonight, and like the 9-year-old Rob would hate that or something. And then I have people that are friends of the show, like Laura and Merle, like, Brussels sprouts suck. You should do this and that. And I'm like, the joke is that no, I'm just saying what I'm making. Why are you telling me what I'm making sucks? It's just every single thing is just shot, bus balls. It's just, oh my God. It's just.
You
enough.
Couldn't take it anymore.
I couldn't take it anymore.
You know what,
I just wanted to, which picture do you like? That's all.
You know what, it worked, though? The picture thing worked because we met a fan at our show this Friday.
Shout out to Nikki.
And she said, hey, I want to see that headshot.
Yes.
She wanted to see the headshot. So at least there was enough for people to say, oh, let me go. I think about that a lot when I'm on Night Rock, when Josh is doing these stories of these people doing these ridiculous things in the news stories. And he goes, oh, it's on 98online.com. And I always, well, I don't have to go there because Josh turns the computer around.
Right.
But you want to see what those people look
Absolutely.
Like. Who drove through the Wendy's? Who, you know, had sex in public? Who blah, blah, blah. And it's, that works.
Well, back in the day, you used to want to see what the radio DJs look like. Because there wasn't a website to
Yeah,
go
you
to.
Couldn't.
Right. Because this woman, Nikki, wanted to see what Gramps looked like because she's not on Facebook.
Which she expected.
And Robbie.
Like George Clooney.
Yeah, and Robbie posted, he pulled out his phone, and there he was. So Robbie.
Wait a minute. Robbie had a picture of Gramps, young and old.
I did.
Just for that very reason.
I want to just point out that I'm still, Rob and I still are not friends. He said he sent me a friend request, which I didn't receive. So it says add friend. It doesn't say we're friends.
Okay. Well, I'll get to it eventually.
I was going to hit add friend, but I thought it'd be funnier when you had this conversation if we still weren't friends.
No, it is funny. It's just, but the picture thing, it's, I realized that like our whole relationship in terms of just the Rob and Joe show and the Michael Mary show is the same sort of vibe. It's just to bust balls. That's the relationship that we have with people that listen. And in reality, you can't get any real answer of any question on social media. You have to go in person. Because in person, people will just say what they think. Or they won't, no one would ever say, hey, what do you think of this picture? We look like you're 90 years old. They would just say not a fan or whatever. They would never say that. But there's so many comments I don't even get. Like Gramps, that one, you put the photo of me like in this frame. Because it looks like my great-great-grandfather. And I'm like, I'm wearing a black blazer jeans and a pink shirt.
We made a reference to people not smiling in pictures is what they did in old-time photos. That's what that is. That was that joke. I actually got that one. Wow.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I wasn't offended. I just don't know that in 1890, that's a fashion
statement. It is weird. Before the show started, Robbie and I got into a fight about me not backing him. But Robbie doesn't know that Rob and I got into a fight on Friday night because when I was backing Robbie.
Yeah, well, I mean, is that
not a fight?
Right.
I got a testy. Bit yeah, I got testy.
Testy is a good word.
What did I do wrong?
Well, no, well, you didn't did do anything wrong. Rob remembered something. That, by the way, this is 100% me just being frustrated about the circumstances.
Tired
or whatever. But Rob said something to me I didn't understand. Then he said something again I didn't understand. He then got frustrated with me for not understanding, but what he wanted to ask me is if you had prepared for the downloading the cassette tape.
You're on a mic, basically.
Right. And of course, I'm like, now Rob got upset with me for not understanding him. And then when I did, I go, he's never not been prepared. Go back and do, you know, so then it got a little heated, but then I felt bad. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, what the thing, and I explained to you, is when, if I suddenly remember something that I'd forgotten, now I'm feeling that urgency. Because this moment in the show is happening in the next 30 seconds.
So no, everything you're saying, I know why you came with a sense of urgency. Mm. I also know why you got frustrated. I got frustrated because you got frustrated with me for something that is the last thing in the world you needed to worry about, which is Robbie being prepared.
That's true.
Either way, it wasn't anything, but I don't like when that happens between you and I. However, I'm much more comfortable with that happening between you and I than almost anybody because I know that we'll be watching the Caps game tonight and all that stuff won't be thought
about.
That's
all over.
I frequently have that situation where someone's mad because I don't understand what they're telling me.
Because you just can't make out the words.
Rob and Joe should be right back.
Hi, it's Justin Schlegel, radio personality, comedian, actor, Tybo master, and home health care worker. I want to tell you about yet another hilarious live interactive whodunit from Die Laughing Productions called Smooth Criminal. In this one, I play Billy, manager of the world's greatest Michael Jackson tribute band, the Smooth Criminals. I'm in pursuit of a new lead singer, but my mission is derailed by a murder. Now, I must solve the crime myself in order to salvage the band, and you can help. Please join me and our cast of regulars to experience the laughter and insanity. Smooth Criminal, a murder mystery musical tribute.
Next performance, May 20th at McGoobie's Joke House, Timonium. For upcoming show dates and more info, please visit dielaughingproductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Splurge.
So Robbie's girlfriend has a guest at this show. And Robbie gave me this girl's name to put on the list. Can I say what she goes by? Or it doesn't matter for the...
Yeah, you can say her first name.
So she goes by Jen. There isn't a J-E or an N in her real name, okay?
There aren't even all the letters that we know.
So it makes no sense, Jen, but whatever.
I just want to say that, that a lot of Asians will adopt a Western-style first name, especially when they live in a English-speaking country.
She was Asian? Her friend?
Yeah, she's Thai.
She's pretty smoking hot. So when they walked in, I happened to be over in that area, and I gave your girlfriend a hug, and she introduced me, and I said hello, and the woman goes, "Nice to meet you." I go, "Okay, she speaks English, good."
Does she like Lobo, Robbie?
So, so then towards the end of the show, when we're walking around, you know, ask people if they're collecting sheets, who if they knew who did it, and I see the same girl. I say, "Are you enjoying the show?" She goes, "Nice to meet you." So oh. That's all she could say.
Oh, man. She looked Americanized to me.
Yeah. No, nice to meet you. That's what she's got down.
Oh, man.
That's her go-to.
My girlfriend is Taiwanese, and she's Thai. It's two different things.
What I say.
Yes.
Ask if she likes Loba.
Yeah, it's Thailand and Taiwan.
Yeah. Two different places.
Come on, Joe. First the math last week, hold now on. This.
Lobo. Didn't Lobo...
He sang the song about Taiwan.
Right.
And she's from Thailand.
Oh, the other person is.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Yeah. Understood. Now I follow.
I thought you were talking about Rebecca Lobo. Famous UConn women's basketball player. The other thing that happened in the murder mystery at AMP, by the way, great times at AMP, wonderful venue. Tommy, because he does this 80s dance where he's doing the worm, he hurt his toe.
Oh, no.
It's turned black now, apparently. He has to, like, rip a toenail off or something.
That's what he said. He said he has to wait for it to turn black and fall off.
Yeah. And didn't he rip his pants last time at this show? Having a lot of injury. And then Eric hit his face on the... Eric or Justin thought that Eric hurt himself badly, but it's Eric. He just goes with the rolls,
so,
with the punches.
Here are my takeaways. First of all, there was more people dressed up in 80s gear than in any of our other shows.
Well, I think not Virginia Beach, but...
Oh, maybe you're right about that. Yeah, but there
but
was...
With that, we had a contest. We advertised it.
There was a lot of 80s people dressed up 80s there. But there was also a baby there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a baby like, you know, a two-year-old. It was a baby. It had just come out of a vagina like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Very fresh off the boat. Yeah.
And they're like, look, this is our night out. We don't cancel it for anything.
We bought these tickets 2 months ago. We're going out. Now, there's also a guy there with a fanny pack, jean shorts, and a Ray Rice jersey.
Like that kind of character use, but
Katie spotted him and she was like, oh, all the male roles are already taken. That was what happened.
Yeah. If you don't, I mean, Ray Rice is the guy that punched his girlfriend in the elevator, knocked her out, and hasn't played since. So he's a great player.
By the way,
it makes sense to own the jersey, but to keep wearing it just seems a little weird.
And it was, by the way, Ray Rice played in the 2010s. I mean,
yes.
It makes absolutely no sense to wear his jersey, although it was a crop top, which, you know, people, I guess.
I guess that was his ode to the 80s. I don't know.
I don't know. There was a great moment in that show, which it sucks because we've done the 80s show now, I don't know, like 15 times.
Yeah.
We've done it many times, and usually it's probably at the end of its run. And Eric did something which we would add to every show moving forward, but now we have to have another show. And what happened was when we do the reveal, we play four songs, and then the person who did it is associated with one of the songs, and we end up playing that song at the end. Robbie put this badass mix up together, and all of a sudden it reveals the song.
We play like a 10-20 second snippet of each song.
And one of the songs we play is Every Breath You Take.
Mm-hmm. The Police.
And of course, there was also a gigantic hit, I'll Be Missing You by Puff Daddy and various other stars in memory.
B.I.G.
Right, in memory of Biggie Smalls. And I guess and I don't know that song very well, being a, mm-hmm. you know, older white man, but I guess in Eric's formative years, that was a huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
So he knows every word to the rap of it. So as soon as we finish playing our clip, he starts doing that rap, and the crowd goes nuts. They absolutely love it. Now, what was funny is we have a great singer now, Lindsay L. Rogers, and also Tommy can sing really well, and they had planned to start to harmonize at the end of that, the remainder of the song. They had decided, all right, let's do this, blah, blah, blah. And just as they were about to do it, Eric started rapping and stepped all over him.
Oh.
But no, that really? You think that would have been better than Eric's rap?
I would have liked to see both.
I don't know how we're going to fit them both in.
We'll have to find both. Because Tommy, I had noticed, had been trying to do that at previous shows and had sort of gotten interrupted by Justin or just the show moving along. And so I was like, all right, well, now, because I said to Lindsay, both of you can both just harmonize. You can do this. And now I was expecting this great moment with that. And then Eric just stepped up and just Eric did.
So
I believe
funny.
He said Wakanda at some point in there, and
he did.
He just added to the rap, but a classic Eric Woodworth. So we talked about
one more thing. So I rather reveal this on the show than off. So I hope we get paid.
Yeah,
I want to tell you why.
Okay, yeah, so do I.
Because they gave us a letter that said, don't deposit the check until the next business day. Okay? So I wake up Saturday morning, don't even think about it, and I deposit the check on my phone. Now, I don't know if they consider that the next business day, Saturday, it's open.
Yeah, when you – well, not for the banks, though. I mean, the bank, nope. It doesn't – when you said that, I was unclear of the text because to me, the next business day means Tuesday.
Well, no, we got the check on Friday. It's dated Friday. The next business day is
But they said wait one business day, right?
Okay. So here's the deal. I forgot, and I deposited those checks. So I guess we'll see. It's a lot of money. So, Robbie, if you don't get paid and all the other people, if you don't get paid, that means I'm getting new checks from AMP.
Doesn't it usually take an extra day when you do it on your phone?
I don't know. I hope.
I think it does.
Well, Saturday is not a business day for the bank. They're open, but it doesn't.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm just hoping at this point that I didn't screw up, because they give you a letter saying they use some authentication. They give you a letter. They go, don't deposit this. And so, of course, the next day I'm like, all right, I need the money to be there because we got to pay everybody, and I space, and then I went and deposited. So we'll see what happens. Yeah. I'll fix the problem if we end up having no money.
So Robbie just sent me a friend request. I mean, what's the advantage of being friends with Robbie? You know, because I'm up against my limit, and you know, I obviously talk to him all the time. We converse with Rob and Joe. Do I need to be friends with him on Facebook?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be uncomfortable if you're really not friends with him.
Yeah. All right, confirm. So, Mac Bergson, who we're definitely...
Wait, I got to upload that picture again and tag you.
Oh, boy. So, we talked about sponsoring Mac's son's award-winning Pinewood Derby car. Max says, guys, sorry I'm behind. I listened to last week's show, but I've yet been able to comment. Was slammed at work, yada, yada, yada. I appreciate the shout-out to my 7-year-old. My only request is next time you decide to give a shout-out to a youngster, you might want to refrain from F and S-bombs afterwards so the parent can actually play the clip for the child.
Fair
point.
Sorry, Mac.
Yeah. I also, but you know what? You don't want your
it's
kid
probably
listening
me,
to us.
By the way.
You have a... I curse a lot on stage, but you curse more than just in everyday life more than I do, I think.
I do.
Yeah. Also, I regret to inform you that the 2018 Pinewood Derby season is over, but Small Paul will be soliciting sponsors for next year's races. Our sales department will contact your marketing department in early 2019. I do warn you, it will not come cheap. You have to pay to be associated with winning brands such as the 2018 number 2 Pencilmobile.
Did they win? They won the whole thing? They won the whole...
Well, every time he posted a clip, his car was dominating. So, but good shout-out to the number 2 pencil. Well done, Mac. Well done, Paul. It's too bad we have to wait, though.
Can I? Yeah, well, I mean, it's only 1 year. We'll just... Robbie has plenty of time to make his never-estimated stickers.
That's true.
So, you did a show, a podcast, What's the Deal with Seinfeld, with Chris Milner.
Yeah.
Chris Milner is a British comic who had never watched, or I guess he lived here, but he's from the UK, and he had never watched Seinfeld. So what he decided to do was watch episodes 1 through whatever.
In order, yeah.
In order, and have people on and discuss the episodes. I thought it was a great premise, right? So I literally went back and I listened to... your 2 episodes.
Okay.
And after I listened to them, I sent Chris Milner a direct message. And I said, hey, your show's one of... I lied. I go, your show's only one of the only few podcasts I listen to. It's great. Keep up the good work. I try to affirm people,
sure.
Make people feel good. He goes, oh, well, you know, I'm not doing it anymore. I got deported. So he hadn't done it in several weeks. So he caught me in a lie, and he's not allowed in the country anymore.
Yeah, because that when we had talked about that, during when we recorded that was looming. Because there was an episode
That you saw about
Babu or whatever.
Babu Bot.
Yeah. So that it came too real for him. Sorry, Chris. We'll do our best to get you back.
Sorry I lied, but I did listen to the 2 episodes. Actually, I listened to a 3rd episode, which was when George stared at the head of NBC's daughter's breast.
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. These guys, God, we're so PC. It's Denise Richards, by the way.
Yeah.
And she's 22 when this is...
Oh, wow.
Okay. And George looks at him, and they are so disgusted, these, the Chris and the comic that's on there, by the idea of us laughing at a 15-year-old being gawked at. Now, first of all, the person playing it is 22.
Yeah.
She's also one of the hottest chicks on the planet. So now, because the character she's playing is 15, and he doesn't know how old she is when she looks. And by the way, she's really 22, the actress playing it.
Right.
And now we have to be disgusted at the misogyny.
Oh, I'm not disgusted.
No, not at all. I'm like, seriously? This girl comes out, she has cleavage, she's 22. We see that as viewers, and now we're supposed to go, oh, I'm so disgusted by the idea that this guy who did... Yeah, I mean, how many times have you tried to avert your eyes from cleavage?
Oh,
a zillion times.
There, me and Tawanda, we went to this restaurant that we love to go to, the Stanford Grill. It's the one that... That Lou couldn't go, Tommy's girlfriend, because she doesn't like,
she's like anything on the menu.
Pancakes.
She had a steak sub, I think. Cold cut sub. Sorry, Italian sub. Got it.
Yeah, so they tend to hire very attractive hostesses, which I think is a good thing. And there was a girl there. Maybe she's new, or maybe I just never seen her. But she had a couple things going for one. You couldn't tell where she was from. Like, I mean, it wasn't white, it wasn't black, you couldn't tell. And that's always an attractive thing when you don't know exactly. And then she had, I don't know if they were fake or they were just so perfect because she was like 22 years old.
And a 15-year-old in Seinfeld,
exactly.
Also 22.
And I said I had this conversation in my head. I said, how much would I pay right now if I could look and no one would know that I'm looking? Like, I could just stare. I could be talking to Tawanda and ordering and eating, but I'm actually staring at her everywhere she's in this room.
You just want to follow her around with your...
And $100 is what I said. That
$100?
I said I would have handed over $100 just to be able to stare at her the rest of this meal.
You really found this woman attractive.
I want to go back. So...
Hey, Caps are up 1-0 over the Penguins.
Yes. So you, at AMP, you wrote on this piece of paper they had in the green room. You had a... You wrote your joke set list. By the way, you can see Joe do comedy this Saturday at the Ram Set on Stage with...
Yeah, Justin Schlegel and John Conroy.
It's a really funny show. So 8 p.m. Saturday night in Annapolis. You'll all be at Magoobie's Joke House, by the way, Thursday through Saturday with Rich Voss. So, you know, come to both of our shows somehow.
And Jim Amato, I posted that on Joe's website.
Hey, there you go. But you wrote your set list, shit on the audience, shit on room, shit on staff, shit on MC, shit on food, shit on audience again, pie plate closer. Pretty fun. I took a picture of it, getting a lot of love here. Michael Chamberlain says, does shit on MC mean shit on Mike Chamberlain? I said, it does now. He said, as it should. So, is that probably what you're going to do Saturday night? It seems.
Well, I'm only doing 10 minutes.
Yeah, you'll shit on the.
I don't know that I don't usually shit on the room.
No, that room books us a lot. We can't.
I can't shit on the MC because I am the MC.
Right.
So I guess I'll just shit on the. I'll probably just shit on the audience.
Will Gramps be there?
I didn't even ask him. I mean, 10 minutes, you don't need to come, Gramps.
No, we need money. Yes, we need that.
I don't need my dad's money.
I do.
It's okay.
Yes.
Don't worry about it, Dad.
So, Comedy Kumite. If just to reset what this is Kumite is from the movie Bloodsport. Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's this made-up fake
I believe also in
tournament.
It is Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, all star cast. And Chris White did the improv, one of the managers and bosses and fellow comedian. He did this years ago, and then he just reinvented it basically for the improv. But it's an 8-person comedy, Kumite comedy tournament where it's like a bracket where you do 5 minutes and the other person does 5 minutes. The audience votes. The winner advances to the next round, and then you get to win 3 times essentially to win 3 5-minute sets. And you get paid X amount to do it, and then every time you win, you get a few more bucks.
Phone call.
So, going back to the first time myself doing this was probably maybe 3 years ago now. I had never done one of these, and to me, the concept, the idea was to take it into like a pro wrestling kind of a vibe. So when I was announced to walk on the stage, I was like playing the heel, the bad guy. I was demanding that the audience stand and rise for me, and just, you know, insulting my competitor and just being an asshole, thinking that that was the way to go with this. The crowd was not having any of it. The other guy, Sean Joyce, just got up and said, well, that guy's a dick. They started laughing, yeah, and I've already lost. So, yeah. Okay, so
he could have said anything at that point.
0-1. So then next time I do it, I have a very good set, and so does Natalie McGill, the other comedian that I'm up against. It's we both do really well. It's so close that he asked for the crowd's response. He can't tell. He asked it again. Can't tell. So then he goes, dance off. So now I lose to the attractive black woman in the dance off. So 0-2.
You didn't do well in the dance off. Didn't do well. That's weird.
So now we're heading to a night where we're doing two nights. We're doing two different tournaments in one night, a 7 and a 9:30.
This is the most recent.
No. Well, this is before the other night.
Okay.
Yes. So I finally win one. And I thought I definitely had a really good set, but I didn't win by some huge margin, you know. So then the second round, I think I had the best set in the entire night, and yet I lose a close one. And then in the second actual tournament, shout out to Umar Khan, who listens to the show, and by the way, he says he thinks that he did beat me, but whatever. So we have a very close battle. I thought I beat him, but he wins. So anything close, I'm losing. So now, fast forward to Tuesday night, we're doing it the DuPont Underground, which is an old train trolley tunnel. So it's this underground DuPont Circle, this tunnel, and it's interesting. It's echo. It's sort of an interesting vibe. So I'm supposed to take on Frankie French, who I don't want to take on. I don't want to take on the fun, black, sassy black woman with attitude. That's not good for me. So she can't do it.
Oh,
kid.
Congratulations.
So I'm going up against this guy, Nick. I think it's Nick Hopping. I've met him a couple times. I'm probably 20 years older than him, at least, right? So we are the last match of the first round. And I've always been going first because you do rock, paper, scissors. Because I think going first, so you do well, you put pressure on that guy.
Right.
But then Ramin told me, no, you always want to go second.
Yeah, the hammer, right.
Right. So I go, okay. So I win the rock, paper, scissors. I let him go first. And, you know, he does – by the way, it's a super young crowd. So it's 100 people there. It's a good crowd. He's their age. And he does good. You know, it's not the greatest set of all time, but it's definitely solid. So I go up there thinking I just do my thing and I'm going to do well. And I want to shit on the room a little bit because I just think it's funny that there's a tiny fire extinguisher on the wall that's going to save us from this giant tunnel. And I shit on the room a little bit. It does okay, but not as well as I thought. And then I'm getting into my jokes and I guess I should have thought about my material about talking about girlfriends and relationships and marriage and shit. And I'm doing fine. But I'm definitely like halfway in thinking, I think I'm going to lose. So I now am putting in jokes that I was saving into this set just to salvage it.
Right.
And I was doing pretty well. But then we go into the back and forth and Chris has, this time he's got an app or he's got some, you know, decibel reader.
Oh, there's no, you right. can't question it.
He does it. He says tie. And I'm like, so then they do it again. And then he clearly wins the second time. So I am now 1-5 in these things.
Losing to children.
I know. It's like, I guess any 50-50, I'm not going to win.
Yeah. I mean, it's the 5 minutes is what's getting you.
It's just funny at this point because it's.
Have you ever gone up against you have never gone up against a more seasoned comic, correct?
No.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should stop doing it.
Well, yeah, although it's fun, although it is I do get nervous because it is this being judged and, you know, normally you do, well, first of all, you don't normally do 5 minutes, but if you are at some open mic, you don't care about.
Here's the deal about the contest. I've done a lot of those. Mm-hmm. I've done well in some. I've won some. But at the end of the day, whenever you win, the other people explain how they got fucked over, how somehow the judges did
this.
Well,
I don't think I got fucked over.
No, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Or you're the person that lost, and you're saying, oh, look how I got screwed.
Right.
Matter of fact, when I go back, and I've done a few of those, but one I remember the most, and we talked about this, is we might have talked about it on the show. It was I can't remember what it was called, but it was at the DC Improv, the showcase. They used to have it every year.
Yeah.
You'd have to win your week, and then you went to the finals. And at the finals, I think I had the best set. Either me or Justin.
I remember
There was nobody really that was near Justin and I. We had the best sets. It was going to be either Justin or myself that was going to win this thing. So, Bird Knight I don't know if I ever mentioned him on this show, but he was a comic. He was a friend of ours. And he went to one of the judges who was, what's his name with the bald head? He used to be at the Improv all the time. I think he has a residency now in Vegas. Matt Kazam.
Yes.
He said, he literally says to him, he goes, hey, you think Joe won this thing? And he goes, Joe can't win this thing. That's what he said to Burr Knight. I can't win it. So then I found out from another friend of mine that was there, Todd Leatherberry, that he didn't watch my set.
Wow.
He got up and he left. So again, I go back.
Changed the whole path of your life.
Well,
Joe,
we'll talk about that. So John Mumma ends up winning it. Now, I think John Mumma is funnier than me. He wasn't funnier than me that night.
Right.
That night I was funnier than him. But he wins.
He's a deserving winner. Funny comedian.
He's hilarious,
yes,
right?
Super funny.
But again, if we're being judged on what happens that night, then it should have been Justin or I. Doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm sure John would tell you the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then John wins a trip and to L.A. and he gets to perform at the L.A. Improv. And apparently it's a jerk off. It's nothing. You win nothing. You
right.
go there,
yeah.
You do 5 minutes. There's 100 other comics on the show. Nobody talks to you. Nobody notices you. So whatever you thought that it was, it didn't matter. So I probably was done a favor by not winning that competition because I didn't have to go to that wasted trip.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, there was nothing. I mean, other than this one guy, there's nothing malicious. There's nothing malicious. They said, look, we have our plans for this person because we think this person has a future in this business. Maybe they didn't feel that way about me. It doesn't matter. I don't begrudge that.
They picked
a guy who I think probably is a better stand-up than me. It doesn't bug me that they chose him. And then they said, all right, let's see if we can effort this guy's career.
He's more representative of what they'd be looking for.
Yeah,
to mold.
Bother me, but at the time it did.
Yeah, I mean, he's younger, he's better looking.
He's all those things.
He's in shape.
Yeah. Yes, okay.
But after this show, I had people come up to me, you know, they're going to the bathroom. Oh, I voted for you. You were great. I'm giving cards. I'm making fans. And then one guy was like, yeah, they were too young, man. Cause he was like more my age. And I guess I have to start thinking about that now that like, you know, you don't feel like you're old because I think that's normal, especially for me. Cause I'm like, I have kids and all these things that are more of an old person's life. But I mean, but following up, going right after a 21-year-old or 22-year-old, I'm going to come off as old.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, I started comedy. I started it. Forget the early on when I wasn't good. When I started it, it was 2004. 2004, 2005, that's when I started. So I started 13 years ago. And so I was always the oldest person.
Yeah.
And now I'm even, you know, 13 years older than that. But I never thought that held me back. I really didn't. I just tried to be as relatable or at least as honest to my own life as I could be. And I always felt like that resonated with people. And I think it's the same thing.
This isn't a real normal show. This in a comedy club audience is going to have.
Yeah, but you're not
going to
tailor your comedy to win this one competition.
No, I'm not. But I would like to have. You know, I'm a pretty.
You'd like to win that.
No,
then.
I would like to know that in a room for 25 and unders that I can crush it.
Yeah, but you could. It's 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I still did fine. It wasn't like
I know,
had a
right?
Bad
obviously,
set.
But you are if people everybody in there is doing 20 minutes, you're going to distinguish yourself.
Right. Yeah.
But speaking of comics, and I'm so disappointed in Robbie because I sent him a clip and he didn't watch it. Which, and the weird thing about it is that this is exactly the kind of thing that Robbie loves.
Oh yeah.
It's shitting on somebody. So. But I'm going to tell you, I have some professional jealousy right now. So
you do.
I don't know if we'll talk about that. So we probably mentioned the name Tom Myers. I know we have on this show, but just for the people, if you get an opportunity, I think it's tommyers.us. I believe that's his website. But check out any clip of this local comic, Tom Myers. I think he's from Falston, Maryland, but he's from Maryland. You can find him. And he's known as the very, very absolute worst comic in this area.
Yeah, tommyers.us, just how it sounds.
He is, and even much bigger comics than Rob and I, like Nick Mullen, who hosts Cumtown, which is probably one of the most popular podcasts in the United States. Comedy podcast.
Yeah, he's in the top 100 on Stitcher.
He's always goofing on Tom Myers for just being so horrible.
Yes.
Tom Myers, I don't know how the fuck he did this. Somehow he landed himself on the Channel 13 news.
Baltimore Channel local news.
WJZ.
The morning show, right?
Was it morning? It's like coffee time or coffee talk or coffee with. So yeah, it's some morning segment, 5 minutes, where Tom Myers, and the local people understand it, will understand this, with Marty Bass, who's been on, probably on air for 35, 40 years in Maryland, and Denise Koch. These are two mainstays in Baltimore news. And in the middle of them is Tom Myers. Now, I believe it's, if you go to the WJZ website and you go look, search Tom Myers or whatever, you'll find it. I'm telling
you. We'll post it on Facebook.
If he talks for, I think he talks for 4 minutes, he doesn't say one thing that makes sense. I'm not kidding. He doesn't say one thing.
Or one thing that's funny.
That, well, forget, we knew that was coming. He does not say one thing that makes sense. The big thing they talk about on Nick's show, Cometown, his the title of his CD is Make America Innate Again.
It's like his fourth CD, by the way.
Yes. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Innate. Isn't that taking something to its base?
Looking up the actual definition of innate. Natural?
Yeah. Like an innate quality is... Okay, so what does it mean? To make America natural? Like, what is he fucking talking about?
It's the never estimated of
comedy CD titles. I don't know what the hell. Anyway, but the jealousy I have... You know, Rob and I, we were thinking about this. I'll bet you there's been... I don't know, without exaggeration, you think there's been $400,000, $500,000 spent on tickets to see our murder mystery?
Yeah, now most of it hasn't gone in our pocket, but yes.
No.
By the way, it's innate again, so it's not just...
Yeah, make America innate again. Make it innate again.
So we've been this before, and now we're doing it again.
I who knows? He doesn't know what it means. It means nothing.
I've never heard America described as innate.
It's the stupidest thing. Yes. I don't know if he's making fun of Trump.
Yeah. Well, clearly.
By he's making it innate, or that's what we need to be in spite of... He hates Trump, by the way.
Of course.
But anyway, somehow, we have this product that has exploded. We also have on it people that... Very good comics that a lot of people in this area know, including one of the biggest names in Baltimore radio.
Yes.
And... We can't get on WJZ.
Well, we haven't tried. I think that's the Tom. See, Tom will list his open mics as his show appearances.
At the end of the thing, at the end of the clip, Denise Koch says to him, "Where can we find you?" And he has no show.
He said YouTube.
He said YouTube. You got to go on YouTube.
I couldn't watch it. I had to listen to it and then look at something else on my computer because I couldn't see their faces
as they tried to
so
figure
awkward.
Out. Oh, yes. It's so awkward.
It would be like Joe and I going on to teach children how to play violin. And we have no ability to play violin.
But we think we can. That's the difference.
We think we can.
We think we can. But the other thing that I was thinking about, you know, this morning, I woke up at 4:15 in the morning, showered, got dressed, hopped in my car, drove to TV Hill, got in the elevator, went past Channel 11 to go to 98 Rock. We've never been on. By the way, a lot of times the comics that come up, they go, "Oh, I got to go do Channel 11." Like they're in a hurry to leave the show that I'm on so they can go TV. Then they go, "Oh, I got to also go do Fox 45." How do we get on these?
Well,
how
we got to get another. Yeah, we got to get another weekend at Magoobie's, a Saturday night where we're doing the murder mystery. Because this is a story that plays well in local media.
You mean the fact that we created this from the ground up.
Yes.
We played all the major clubs in this area. We then took it overseas and performed for our troops in different countries.
It's locally made and written. And
every comic
you're
is local.
From here, you're a Maryland alum.
I went to the University of Maryland.
Yes.
I'm on the Baltimore Morning Radio, one level above. By the way, I see Keith Mills every time I'm in there, who's on Channel 11 television.
Well, let's get on TV.
Why can't we go in for 5 minutes and actually make sense?
Yeah.
I've seen Rob on TV.
That's true. Yeah.
But he never mentioned you, Joe.
No, I've mentioned you. You're right, probably not.
The last time, yes. I heard him say my murder mystery. It's okay.
I forced it in. I'll start mentioning you more. I'll go on just to talk about you.
He did mention me.
We'll talk about our argument.
He did. By the way, go on. There's a Tom Myers Reddit thread where Tom Myers had asked me anything.
He's almost nine in. There's a little bit of an...
Yeah, there is. A nine in vibe.
Not as huge in terms of the... there's not as much to dig deep with Myers as there is nine in. Because Tom isn't really trying to cheat and steal from people.
Well, in the Reddit thread, Tom Myers says, he goes, ask me anything. And they ask him one question. He's like, go fuck yourself. I guess not anything.
Rob, are we going to address this thing that Marcus wants to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
I forgot all about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, address away.
Marcus, the floor is yours.
You guys know I put the show together week after week. And we had a comment. Actually, you made the comment a couple of weeks ago, Rob, from a listener talking about, new material, trying to keep it relevant for a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
And in the editing process, it's been a long time since I listened to the show open. And right at the beginning of the open, I think that there's a couple of reasons why a person who is new to the show might turn it off. If Robbie will play the clip that I gave him, I think you'll understand.
Okay.
I'm attracted to men.
Oh, that's the wrong clip.
That's going to help our numbers.
Hmm.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Robin Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You think because we did a clip of that other Robin Joe Show.
I also mentioned Louis C.K.
Yeah, and we say some of our best friends are black. All right, maybe it's time. You're right. Maybe it's time to rethink that for new listeners.
I agree.
It's right at the beginning of the intro, and I'm just afraid as we try to get more listeners in that the first thing they're going to hear is, hey, welcome to our racist show.
Mm-hmm. I actually 100% agree with you.
Yep. Robbie, get a new opening together.
I'm not even against just not even having an opening other than something super 15 seconds or less.
Oh, I think people like the opening.
Hey.
And by the way, you can just go through it, but when I do it, I enjoy that it exists, but we also don't do the work.
I feel the same way. I like that it's there, but I know nobody really listens to it anymore. If you know the show and you follow the show, you appreciate that opening a lot more than if you're a first-time listener. And if somebody else wants a different opening, they can make a different opening.
Damn.
Okay.
This went too easy.
Yeah.
He's saying is that he's not going to do it, and I don't know how to do it, and neither does Rob. So
Marcus?
It's either on you or there's no new open.
Or Jim Amato.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Jim's in chat. And he's probably happy now because the Penguins tied it up.
Stop telling me that. I don't want to know that information.
What do you mean? You're going to watch? I thought we were just going to walk downstairs.
I don't like to know those things. I like to see it on my own without it being hitting me in the face.
Okay. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
How would I have known that?
Now you know for the future.
All right,
don't ever tell me any score.
Jim, get that together. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Jim. We expect it in 3 hours. So come out to Magoobies this May 10th through 12th. It's myself, Rich Voss.
Or come to the Annapolis Rams Head and see Justin and I. Or come May 20th to Magoobies.
Yes.
And see Smooth Criminal.
Or come May 17th through the 20th in Tampa and see myself and David Koechner. Or just me on the 17th with Mac Berkson, my opener, Mac Berkson. That's the show. Racist Robin, Racist Joe. See you next week.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.